Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, if you would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, reading through verse 25. This is God's word. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Our theme is "Do not be afraid." That's what the angel says each time in each of these messages to the people that the angel speaks to. Do not be afraid. Not because circumstances are great, not because you feel good, but because of what you know. Because of what God's word declares. That is why God's people are told not to be afraid.
Amen.
So, I want you to see that when we're in the middle of the narrative ourselves, when we are the ones who are walking through the experience, it can seem discouraging and dark and scary. We come to church, we hear God's truth, we say, yes, amen, I believe it, that's right. And then we get out there in the world and things happen and we start to feel all kinds of other things and think all kinds of other things. And we have to go back to God's word in order to have our minds renewed. In verses 6 and 7, we see that this couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, had lived for years in faithful service to God. He was a priest. Now, let me tell you something. You can be a plumber and be a priest. If you are a believer, you are a priest to God. But in the old covenant, that was not so. The priests were set apart exclusively for priestly duties. And so here is a guy whose whole vocational life, his day-to-day job, was working on God stuff. Okay? He's what people in our culture would refer to as someone in full-time ministry. The fact of the matter is, all Christians should be living out our lives in full-time ministry. Whatever you're called by God to do, whatever you do for a living, that's your arena in which to shine for Him. But this guy, Zechariah, he was very consciously full-time paid to do the work of God. Now, I've been involved in full-time ministry for decades. And I'll just tell you, you get tired. We get tired just like you get tired. I just understand that. The reason I mention it is not because I need any sympathy. I don't. Any more than you need sympathy. The reason I mention it is because this guy was in that situation. For decades, he had been serving the Lord faithfully, blamelessly, and yet the longing of his heart was unfulfilled. He wanted to have a child. He had prayed that God would give him a child. He longed for his wife to have the joy of having a baby. How does she describe it? She says, "The Lord has done this for me. He has taken away my disgrace among the people." Imagine that. She's devoted to the Lord. She and her husband are serving the Lord, and yet she feels continually disgraced. Disgraced. Why? Because the idea that not having a child was somehow God not favoring her, God not pleased with her, some reason, there must be some reason why they can't have a child. That was the sick attitude of those around her. And well, you know, you just never know. But there's some reason God knows that they just wouldn't be good with children. I think there must be something that they've done to displease the Lord. The evil imaginations of people who look at a situation and think they're in a position to judge. They were all wrong. God had something very special. All those people who thought that about them are dead and we don't know what their names were. We're still talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Okay? Because God had something special. They were highly favored. They were chosen by God for a special task. And even though decades had gone by with no answer to prayer, I want you to see that they had not become bitter. They had not become rebellious. They hadn't said, "Well, okay, I guess prayer doesn't work. Well, fine then. If God's not going to do what I ask, why should I believe in Him? Why should I knock myself out trying to do what God says? I mean, really. All I'm asking for is what everybody else has. Look at all these people with babies. And yet God won't give us one child. What's the deal here?" I'm sure you've never had thoughts like that. I'm sure you've never felt that God was unfair. I just remember over and over again how very glad I am that God isn't just fair, He's merciful. Because if God was just fair, I'd be toast. I'd have no hope if all I got was justice.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something else. When you look at somebody else's life and you think, oh, if only, you're not seeing enough. Because the fact of the matter is, I wouldn't want to trade places with anybody.
Amen.
Well, maybe some of the Bible characters. No, you wouldn't. You think about everybody in the Scripture who we know anything about, and it's like, I mean, you want to be that person? Jonah? No, not Jonah. He was not on my list. Well, who are you thinking of? Moses? No, not really. Abraham? He had to wait a long time to have a baby. And then when Isaac comes along, he has to offer him back to God in a way that none of us would ever want to face. And then when Isaac finally gets married at age 40, God makes him wait 20 years to have a baby. I don't want to trade with anybody. My life has its own problems. I'll take them instead of yours. God gives me grace for my problems, and God will give you grace for your problems. I don't want your problems, and you don't want mine. So could I maybe get rid of all the problems and just have your blessings? No. Doesn't work that way. God's at work in each of our lives in order to accomplish His purpose for His glory and our good. And none of us ever ought to look at somebody else with jealousy or envy in our hearts. That's sinful. And it's stupid. Okay? Jealousy and envy are based always on ignorance. It's always based on a misperception of the true situation. Don't ever think, well, that person's got it easy. Might look that way, but you haven't watched the whole film yet. Okay? I mean, if there was one guy in the Scripture that other people would have envied, don't you think it would have been Job? I mean, he had it all. In the whole earth, he was the guy that everybody said, oh, wow, wisdom, wealth, family, he's got it all. That's what the devil said. He said, you let me take that stuff away from him and see if he doesn't curse you. But he didn't. And Zechariah and Elizabeth, all these years going by, they're now an old couple. And they never had their prayer answered. And suddenly, there's an angel saying, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayers. Well, Zechariah can't believe it. Please see that he was chosen by lot. What does that mean? Well, it's like rolling dice. It's like flipping a coin. It's a random thing that God's in charge of. Stuff that happens all the time, like the genetic pool, you know? Remember when the genetic counselors tried to tell us that our chances of having another child with spina bifida had dramatically changed. We went from a 1 in 500 chance of having a child with spina bifida to a 1 in 23 chance of having a child with spina bifida. And so we thanked the genetic counselors at Children's Hospital in Boston and explained to them that we do not believe the universe is governed by chance or that our son is an accident. He was knit together in his mother's womb by the hand of God. God has a plan for his life, and God has a plan for our lives. God's plan is so much more nuanced and rich than anything we can even perceive. God knows what he's doing.
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. I actually enjoy buying gifts for my wife and children, and that's good because I've got 7 children. I give gifts to my 8 grandchildren and to my staff as well. And at this time of year, I make some special gifts to several ministries that I believe are doing a good job sharing the gospel. Well, I'd be grateful if you would make a special year-end gift to Abiding in Christ like I do. Use the mail, give online if you'd like at pastorwood.org, or call 866-41-ABIDE. But please, let us hear from you before the year is out.
So when Zechariah is chosen by lot in what seems to be a random thing, God doesn't say, it's Zechariah's turn. Hurry, somebody needs to go talk to him. No. This is all planned out. This is the moment. This is the time. Zechariah didn't see it coming. He was just going around. It was business as usual. He was doing what he was supposed to do. And when... as he did what he was supposed to do, God intervened in a miraculous way. Zechariah wasn't just surprised. He was startled and terrified. And I'll tell you something about the hand of God. When God starts to intervene in answer to our prayers, it is often terrifying to God's people. How many times do we long for God to step in and use his divine power in order to carry out our agenda? I mean, maybe you don't have that problem. I have that problem. Okay? I have ideas. I'm a visionary. Do you understand that? I can see things. And all I need is some cooperation from God. He's got all this power. It's infinite power. Come on, God. The cattle on a thousand hills are yours. Make my plans happen. God says, I'm not so fond of your plans. I say, God, let me explain them to you. You think they wanted to wait this long to have a baby? You know, yeah, wait till I have arthritis and I can't get down on the floor. That would be a good time to send me a toddler. Now, again, if you were advising God on this situation, wouldn't you say, look, their window is pretty much past here. I think you better give this job of parenting the forerunner of Messiah to somebody else. Because they're just, frankly, they're old. Notice that that's what it says in verse 7. And then when he says in verse 18, Zechariah, you can tell he's a good husband. Listen to what he says. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. You see, there is a nicer way to say it, and that's what he said about his wife. For himself, he just says, I'm an old man. Okay? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. Love this couple. Great people. But when God shows up and God starts to work, it will often be outside of our expectations, not what we envisioned, different from what we thought we needed. And God's ways are always better. They're always better. Not always in our eyes, but definitely in truth. God's ways are always better. So, the answer from God to their prayers was not just a consolation prize. Look, I know that you wanted to have a child. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But what about a Cocker Spaniel? You know, I think a pet is nice. It wasn't just a consolation prize that God gave them. It was a delight. Look at the description of John the Baptist. Verse 14. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. We ought to spend a whole Sunday sometime just on that. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. In fact, as we read on in Luke's account, John the Baptist responded in the womb to the presence of Jesus in the womb of Mary. Well, I don't think they're really persons until they're born. Well, you don't know diddly. That child in the womb is not only a person, it's precious to God. And we need to always remember that. But God says this child is going to be a delight. But the blessing I'm giving you is not just for you. The blessing that I'm giving you is to bless others. You see, Elizabeth says, he's done this for me. Well, that's true, but that's just a piece of it. He's taken away my disgrace. He's done this for me. Yes, he's done it for you, but he's also done it for us. God's answer to your prayers is beyond what you envisioned. It's beyond what you asked for. It's something you hadn't thought about. They didn't say, oh, Lord, I know that we can't seem to have children, but if you could please just send to us the forerunner of Messiah. That wasn't on the radar. When God delayed, it was not a denial. A delay is not the same thing as a denial. And sometimes you and I long for God to do something and God doesn't seem to be doing anything. But he is. Amen. And while we wait, God is waiting. I've told you innumerable times about my red cardinal friend that came and tormented me at my window. The glass doors next to where I have my quiet time. That cardinal would beat his head against the glass over and over and over and over and over and over. And I thought how stupid that bird was. Determined to get in to a place that would not be well suited for it. We didn't have lots of bird food lying around on the sofa. And outside there were insects and seeds and go on, buddy, enjoy all that you've been given. Don't be focused obsessively on what you can't have. God said, your prayers remind me of that bird. And I said, oh God, I'm so sorry. And the bird left and never came back. It had been there for weeks, going around to various windows, trying to find the weak spot in the glass. You know, that's just me. I've got all these blessings. And instead of saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, I'm saying, could I add something? You know, I appreciate everything, but there's something I don't have. Let me tell you, while we're waiting, God's waiting too. And he's up to something. And his plan is perfect. Because it's not just about giving us a baby. It's about sending the world a Savior. And the greatest thing that could ever happen to any of us with any of our children is that they would be one who points people to Jesus. That's the greatest gift he could give us in a child. And that's what he did for Zechariah and Elizabeth. He gave them a son whose job would be to prepare the way and point people to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Don't be afraid. Your prayers have been heard. God has heard your prayers. Don't be afraid. God's listening. And God's up to something wonderful. And his will be done.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.abiding.org.